Thank you, Pastor. Well, good to be back in the house of God this evening. I'm glad to be here. At my age, I'm glad to be anywhere. Amen. But we're happy to be here tonight. Now, our pastor is taking the faith promise cards through the auditorium. And if you do not have one, please take one. Even if you're visiting, we have plenty of them. You don't have to fill it out and turn it in by taking it. But if you hold your hand up if you don't have one in your possession tonight. If you do not have a faith promise card, you need one for the children. Raise your hand. He has some yellow ones for the children. All right, we make sure that everybody has one. We want you to have it, and you who are not members of the church and will not participate in faith promise, you put that in your Bible, and every time you see it, it'll remind you to pray for the missions program. Amen. Here at Linwood. And you who are church members, and you will be participating, amen. I'm sure you will be, but I hope you're planning to, and everybody can do something. And so I hope that you'll let God speak to your heart, and I hope that you'll put this in your Bible and spend some time tonight and tomorrow in prayer about it, and be prepared on Sunday morning to turn them in. You'll have plenty of time to fill them out. I want you to hear the messages before you do fill them out. Just be prepared to fill them out. And there's a certain way that we ask you to do it. And I will just mention this, that if you'll notice on the card is a little different than what we've used in the past. But we normally turn the small part in. You see where it's perforated a little piece up to about two-thirds of the way up the card. We normally turn the little card in and keep the big card to remind us. But Sunday we'll be turning the big card in and keeping the little card. You'll see, if you'll read that on there, you'll see why. If you'll notice there that it says, in dependence upon God, I purposed in my heart to give to world evangelization through the local church, and the amount to write in there and how you're going to give it. And down on the bottom there, a child, or it says youth on here, means child, teen, or adult. And if you'll fill that out and be prepared to turn it in. Now, again, let me say, you don't need to fill it out before Sunday morning, and because there'll be plenty of time to fill it out, then we'll take them up and we'll calculate them right here in the service at the conclusion of the service on Sunday morning. And I trust that you'll just let the Lord lead you in this. I try never to put any pressure on people to do anything for missions. I try to present the principles and just let God speak to your heart. And I try to do that. And even this matter that somebody maybe feel the pressure of Brother Averson saying you need to surrender to missions. That's not what I don't mean to be saying that. I want you to surrender to God. And when you surrender to God, then God will do with you what He wants to do. And if it's to call to the mission field, then He'll get you there if you'll just surrender totally to the Lordship of Christ. I hope to say a little bit more about that in the message this evening. But just be open to God in what God would have you to do. Sure enjoyed that presentation tonight. In fact, I've enjoyed all these presentations this week. It's been a blessing to hear about what the Lord is doing, and these who are on deputation and raising their support and where they're going and how excited they are to get to their fields, and then to hear from an old veteran missionary. And he said he was afraid that God would kill him if he didn't do what God told him to do. Amen. He's afraid that God would put that Mongolian on him is what he's afraid of, and that's a story in itself. You ask him about that after the service tonight. He was a boxer before that he became a missionary. How many fights did you have, Josh?
Amateur and professional total, about 67.
How many did you win? 10? One?
57.
That's not bad, is it? But he bit off more than he could chew one night with a Mongolian in the ring. And he'll tell you about that if you want to know and if he wants to tell you about it. But I tease him about that. And we appreciate you, brother. We pray for you on a regular basis, not just at church here. I pray for you personally. And we're pulling for you. Thank God for what you're doing there. And I hope that God gives you many, many more years to serve him there in your labor of love. I want you to take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 17, if you would please. 1 Kings, chapter number 17. And I want to bring a message tonight to follow up on what we've been preaching about around the theme of 2020 vision for missions. That's the theme of our year at church, 2020 vision. And during the missions conference, we want to emphasize our vision for missions. And so we spoke on Wednesday night from Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish. And we spoke on the focus of missions, focusing on missions. And we brought a message from that verse about the focus of missions. Then last night, we went to Acts 26, where Paul said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision when God saved him and called him. And so we preached about the fundamentals of missions, just some things that are fundamental in missions, the consideration of the world and the compassion for the weak, those that need Christ and don't even know how to know Christ. Paul said he had that vision of the man of Macedonia that said, come over and help us. That indicates that the heathen don't have anybody to help them. They need us to help them. And so that's the compassion. That's just the fundamental of missions. And then we talked about the call into the work. And God has called us all to be involved in that. There was the commitment to the will of God. There was the church to guide us or to give us wisdom concerning it. And then whatever else we said, I think we had about seven things. We said there is a conclusion that wins. And that is a fundamental of missions because we're going to hear him say, if we've been faithful one day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Tonight, I want to preach about the faith that's involved in this vision of missions. And I'm going to read, and I've got just a little longer passage to read than normally. But I want you to stand and give attention to the Word of God. Now, let me say that I know what time it is, okay? So you don't have to keep looking at your watches and to remind me what time it is. I hate to preach to a bunch of clock-eyed Baptists, amen? Preacher, you know what time it is? And I had one fellow one day that brought his calendar to church and started waving his calendar. You know what date it is? And I'm just joking now, but what I'm saying is, let's just let God speak to our hearts. I know we have a heavy day tomorrow, but this is just one time a year, okay? And so let's just let God speak to our hearts tonight. and ask God to help you to exercise faith in this matter of missions. Whether it's to give your life to go to the mission field, or whether it's to involve yourself more in faith promise missions, let God speak to your heart. And let's just all take a deep breath, relax, and say, preacher, you preach just as long as you want to. I know you ain't going to say that, but I'll do my very best to be a good steward of the pulpit, and whatever that means. I hadn't understood what that meant yet, but I'll do my very best to do it. But I'm going to read several verses here, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel, before whom I stand, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Now, apparently, the drought had already been about 6 months. And God sent that drought to punish His people because they'd gone off into idolatry. Now, the next 3 years of that drought, I believe, was the answer to Elijah's prayer that he prayed, that there wouldn't be rain for the next 3 years, as we'll see later, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith," that is before Jordan. "It shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." Now, you know that had to take faith, because ravens won't even feed their young. They are a vulture's animal, first bird mentioned in the Bible, by the way, in Genesis 8. And so God says, I'm going to command the ravens to feed you there. "And it shall be," verse 4, in verse 5, "so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith," that is before Jordan, "and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook." Now, in the next chapter, you'll find that there were 100 secret prophets of God that Obadiah hid in a cave and fed them bread and water. But the man of God doing the will of God, he's eating T-bone steak and bread and water. And it says in verse 6, "The ravens brought him bread," I read that again too, but verse 7, "And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks, and he called her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. Now listen. but make me thereof a little cake first. You say he was selfish. No, he's testing the faith. And bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail into the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. Now watch it. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the bread of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. What a wonderful story about faith. And let's think about it tonight. Father, speak to our hearts, we pray. Do what you desire to do. Lord, I need your help tonight. Please help thy servant open the heart of everyone here to receive your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, we think a lot about faith. We talk a lot about it. We sing about it. We preach a lot about faith. But sometimes I wonder if we really know what faith is and how to really involve ourselves in this thing of walking by faith. You say faith is so vitally important in the Christian life. We get saved through faith, by grace through faith, the Bible says. And that's where it begins. And then as a result of it, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. And then in verse number 4 of Habakkuk chapter 3, the Bible tells us there that the just or the justified shall live by faith. And then that's repeated 3 times more in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, in chapter 1, the book of Galatians, chapter 3, the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. He's saying that the just or the justified, the saved people, shall live by faith. And so we're to live our Christian life by the principle of faith. The Bible talks about how that the Christian is to die by faith even. He talks about in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13 about how Abraham and those of his descendants died in faith, not having received the promise, but they believed God for it. And the child of God is not only to live by faith, but we're to die by the principle of faith. We buried Miss Brenda today. And by faith, she trusted Christ to be her Savior. And she died in faith. And Brother Jerry buried her today by faith, knowing that he's going to see her again. And what a blessing it was. He was smiling. I spoke to him just before we left the cemetery. And I said, Brother Jerry, one thing about it, this grave doesn't end it. This is just the beginning. And one of these days, and it won't be long until we'll see her again. And we believe that by faith. And then not only that, but the Bible says in Hebrews 11 in verse 6 that without faith it's impossible to please God. And then the Bible says in Romans 14 and verse 23 that whatsoever is not of faith in the Christian life is sin. In other words, our whole Christian life ought to be a life of faith. Now, I've I've said all of that to lay the groundwork to say that this thing of missions must be an exercise of faith.
Amen.
And I want us to zero in on that thought tonight. And I want us to look at this passage of Scripture right here that I read in your hearing just a little while ago. We see a beautiful illustration of some folks who were willing and who were living by faith and literally walking by faith in Almighty God. What a beautiful picture, a beautiful illustration it is. And I just want us to look at this for a little while. And I want us to see some things that's involved in this thing of living by faith. And especially serving by faith in this area of missions. Look on your outline. First of all, involved in this faith and this vision of missions is our full surrender. Now, Elijah here, he came to the place of where that he had to live by faith. He didn't understand why God would send him to the over there to the brook Cherith with nothing to eat, or and he just had a little water to drink at the brook, and that finally dried up. He didn't understand why God, but God said, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to feed you there. And so by faith, he took that step. And then God said, I'm going to send you to Zarephath, over to the Gentile territory, and I'll say more about that in just a little while. And in addition to that, I've commanded a widow there to feed you. Now imagine Elijah said, glory to God, there's a rich widow over there that God's going to use to feed me and take care of me. Got there and found out all she had was just a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil, and going to make her and her son a little bit of bread to eat, and then they were going to die. But you see, he went by faith, and he never doubted one little bit. And now, more than ever, Elijah had to trust God.
Amen.
Because there was no other way. God said, go. And you know what? Elijah went. You say, well, preacher, how do you know it was by faith? Because his obedience, the fact that he went at the word of God, proves that he was walking by faith.
Amen.
Now, let's bring this down to where we are. Full surrender. It takes faith to surrender to missions. And on our outline, our whole heart needs to be involved in it. He had to trust God.
Amen.
There was no way around it. And he had to trust God with all of his heart. Just like Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding, but all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy. And Elijah got in on the blessings of God. This widow got in on the blessings of God because that they were willing to obey the Lord and trust God. And their faith was made real. And God blessed their faith and what they did. They did it with their whole heart. Their whole heart. As we seek the Lord, Jeremiah 29 verse 13 says, with our whole heart, then God will bless us. You see, a would-be missionary, somebody that's thinking about missions, has to trust God with his whole heart, has to put their whole heart into it. And then not only their whole heart, but you'll notice also our entire life must go into it. Brother, there was no turning back for Elijah after this. He crossed the line, brother. And there was no turning back when he crossed that line. This thing of missions, Brother Andrew, as you know, is a lifetime commitment. It's our whole life that's to be involved in this. I was preaching a missions conference up in Holland, Michigan a few years ago. I preached a conference there, I believe, 15 years in a row at the Lighthouse Baptist Church. And God mightily blessed it. And there was a young couple in that missions conference on deputation. And they were going to a very difficult country. There had been many missionaries that had gone in there and tried to do a work, and every one of them flopped. And they soon left because they saw no fruit. And so I pulled them aside one day and I said, look, I said, you're young and you're excited about the call of God on your life. But I just want you to know, and whether you have heard it or not, I want you to know that I know a little bit about that country. It's in Europe. And I said, I know that that place is considered the graveyard for missionaries. And I said, it's going to take a whole lifetime to build a church there. And if you're not willing to spend a lifetime there, this is a young couple. I said, I would recommend that you not even go. Well, that put them back. They later went to the pastor. Told the pastor, said, Brother Atkinson talked real straight to us the other night. And said, he told us that that was a graveyard for missionaries. Pastor said, he's probably right. And you probably ought to listen to him. And do you know what? They went. They raised their support. They went. I didn't hear from them for another 3 or 4 years whenever they took their first furlough. And Brother Josh, they came back to the mission for a personnel committee meeting. And they were dressed in the attire of the country. They were as happy as a bumblebee in a 4-acre field of clover. And I mean, they were just excited about it. And they said, we're just so happy there. Said, we hadn't seen any fruit that we can actually see yet. Said, but we're sowing a lot of seed and we plan to spend the rest of our lives there. Now, that's what it's going to take. That's full surrender. You see, our whole heart, our entire life, but then it's going to take a personal will that's involved. You see, from this point on, there was no personal ambition for Elijah. It was all the will of God. And whatever God wants for my life, that's what I want. Now, that's where one that's going to the mission field has got to conclude. You see, after someone has considered the missions, he or she should say, I will do it. And let God use them to do it. Full surrender that involves faith. But I want you to notice a second thing quickly. I'm trying to hurry. Not only does it involve a full surrender, it involves our faithful service. You see, Elijah has nothing now to do except just to go all the way with God. And that's what real faith is all about, is just faithfully serving the Lord. There were some difficult situations involved there at Cherith, and then the widow at Zarephath and her son. Those were difficult times. And we talked about that some last night, how that serving God in missions is not always pleasant. There's some difficulties that's involved in it. Missionaries run into all kinds of heartaches and problems and difficulties, obstacles that Satan throws in their ways. I talked last night again about that next thing, the in danger settings. There at Zarephath, when God said, Elijah, now the brook's dried up, and I want you to go to Zarephath. Now, that Zarephath, word itself means testings. And he's about to get a real test for his faith. You see, there is always a test of faith. Anytime that you ever take a fresh step of faith, you can always count on a test to come. Not that God doesn't know whether you mean business with Him. He knows. But He'll give you a test to prove to you whether you mean business. You may think you do. God says, all right, let's see if you do. Missionary out on deputation may be struggling. You see, there comes a time in a missionary's life. He starts out, and these fellows on deputation, and you old veteran missionaries, Brother Andrews or Brother Durden, you know this to be so, that you start out on deputation. Now watch these young people and young couples at BIMI, and they're young and they're enthusiastic, and boy. Come to candidate school, and they're so excited and thrilled. Amber, you were there last year. You know what I'm talking about. Just thrilled about it. And I said, that's wonderful, but I know what's coming. You see, once candidate school is over and they get back to normal and get on the phone and start trying to book meetings with, number one, trying to get a hold of pastors. That's a job anymore, because you get a famous answering machine, you know, that voicemail. This pastor so-and-so, this is so-and-so Baptist Church, and you want to speak to the pastor, dial one or whatever, and you dial one, and then you get the pastor's voicemail. And the pastor says, this pastor so-and-so, I'm not available, I can't take your call right now. But if you will leave me your name and number and the reason you're calling, I promise you that I'll get back with you just as soon as I can. Now, I love pastors. I was a pastor for years. My son is my pastor. I love pastors. Do you know what the statistic is of a pastor returning the call of a missionary? And I know this is not true with my pastor, because he's very adamant about it. 90% of pastors will not return the call of a missionary. It's hard to get him. It takes faith to get out there and do this job. And a missionary has to take that step of faith. And I'll tell you something else. He has to work a job as a rule to start with, because that he don't have any support coming in unless you're rich like Andrew is. And he didn't need any of that. He had plenty of money. Now he knows I'm just teasing him now. A missionary works a job to start with and does deputation on the weekends. We have one right now, a military missionary, that's just started deputation just recently, and he's working a job, and he's driving sometimes 100, 500 miles or more a weekend. You see, there's only so far you can go out. So many churches out there, 100 miles or 200 miles out, and you got to get on out there where you can find somebody that'll have you. Yeah. And so they work themselves silly. And there has to come a time, Brother Nathaniel, that a missionary has got to take another step of faith when he says, I can't go any farther working this job. I'm going to have to take a step of faith and get out there on the water and go full-time deputation. Josh, you remember that. You're talking about a step of faith now. I don't have the time to do it. I wish I did, because my time's almost up now and I ain't even got started good. But I could tell you story after story of missionaries that had to take that step of faith. And to see how God, first of all, tested their faith. And a lot of them quit during that time. But boy, if they'll just stay with it by faith, to see the hand of God move, and to see God get them supported up to where that they're able to just give themselves totally then to deputation. What a blessing that is. This is what I'm talking about, my friend. It takes faith. And difficult situations, danger settings. Elijah had to go to Zarephath now. This widow woman, you talking about something strange. God said, go to Zarephath. Elijah knew what was there. That was the hometown of Jezebel. Jezebel was an old reprobate, Ahab's wife, King Ahab, that had introduced idolatry and Baal worship into the nation of Israel. Now listen to this now. This was a hub, a headquarters for this religion called Baal worship, that was so vile that I could not even begin to describe it in a mixed congregation like this. And it had led Israel into idolatry. And the Bible says about Ahab and Jezebel that they caused the people of God to sin more than anybody else had ever up to that time. So this was a headquarters of it. God said, Elijah, you go to Zarephath. I imagine that he realized that was going to be a danger setting. That'd sort of be like an American going into a Muslim terrorist headquarter city. You don't have much of a chance to survive in a situation like that, except for God being with you. So it was a danger. And I talked about that. I told you about Daniel Norton last night. Sometimes there are danger settings. But then this faithful service also involves some delightful surroundings that you see in verses 15 and 16 where that that God worked a miracle, and the barrel of meal and the oil never gave out. It was always there. And I don't believe there was an abundance there always. I believe that every time they needed some, they'd go and there was all they needed. Then next time they needed some, they'd go back and it was all that they needed was there. And by faith, God just kept it flowing. Those were delightful situations. Those were delightful surroundings. When God moved, and there are some delightful surroundings in a missionary's ministry. When you see precious souls saved, there's nothing like it in all of the world to see God working and to know that you're doing what God called you to do and sent you there to do. But you know, it takes faith to continue believing, because you can just about set your clock by it. But every time you have a victory, guess who's going to show their old ugly face?
Amen.
Old devil is going to show up. Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt and through the Red Sea and out into the wilderness, and they had no water. They cried out to God, and God said, Moses, you speak to the rock. He did. That rock was Christ. And he met their the thirsty need. And all of them drank and they were satisfied. What a blessing. But guess what happened? Then came Amalek. The devil was waiting. Because, see, it's easy to let your guard down in delightful surroundings. It takes faith to keep on believing in them, our faithful service. But then I want to hasten to get to this, and I want you to stay with me now. Don't leave me now. But then there's this matter of our fervent sacrifice. Now, watch what he's saying here. You see, Elijah was willing to give up everything just to follow God. Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow me. Peter asked Jesus one day, said, hey, we've left all. We've followed you. Well, we're going to get out of this. Jesus said, let me tell you something, Peter. No person that's ever followed me will lack for anything. He said, I'll bless you 100-fold in this life, and in the life to come, I'll bless you for it. God will bless you for a life of faithful service and faithful, a fervent sacrifice to the Lord as we follow God. And Elijah was willing to give up everything. And then we see in verses 14, 15 that the widow woman gave all that she had to follow the Word of God and the will of God, a fervent sacrifice. And I'll tell you, it takes that in this thing of missions. It doesn't matter whether we surrender to go to the mission field or we stay by the stuff. We don't feel that call to go to the mission field. But we know we have a calling of God to serve God in missions. And we stay by the stuff and we give and we fervently pray to send those missionaries out. My dear friend, that's oftentimes sacrifices that we're making. I know widow women who make sacrifices. They live on just a few dollars a month of Social Security, but yet they sacrifice to give, to send those missionaries. That's why missionaries ought to be good stewards of what God's people give them, because it's a matter of sacrificing for the cause of Christ and this thing of missions. Now, I want you to look at this, if you would. First, there's the interpretation of it. Just what do we mean when we talk about sacrificing? Well, in general sense of the act of giving up something. That's what sacrificing is, giving up something. But in the spiritual realm, it's a little more exalted. You see, it's a matter of offering something to God, certainly, but we understand that this thing that we offer to God, it's going to cost something, because it costs something to serve God. And if we're going to sacrifice to the Lord, then it's going to cost something. And that offerer is willing and he's wanting to pay the price, whatever it takes to serve the Lord. If we're serious with God, in the morning in our tomorrow afternoon, a Great Commission, a discipleship class, we're going to be studying about King David and the great sin that he committed, not with Bathsheba, but with numbering the people. By the way, I mentioned again, as I did last night, you men who are in that class, please read 1 Chronicles 21 tonight sometime, so that you'll be familiar. We won't have time to read it and elaborate on it all in the morning or tomorrow afternoon. And if you do that, that'd give you a head start on it. But in 2 Samuel 24, that's a sister chapter to it, talking about the same thing. And verse number 24, 2 Samuel 24, 24, David said, I will not offer, I'll not sacrifice, is what he's saying. I'll not give an offering, I'll not offer to the Lord my God for that which cost me nothing. It's going to cost you something. David was willing to pay it. Hey, David was a king. The government could have paid it. But David paid it. Hey, David didn't even try to Jew him down. Or Ronald wanted to give it to him. But David said, no, I'm not going to offer to the Lord that which cost me nothing. There's a cost in this thing, folks. And by faith, we are willing to pay the price and to do whatever God has told us to do. Now, that's the interpretation of it. But notice the inspiration of it. How can we be inspired to sacrifice? Scores and scores of time throughout the Word of God, the word sacrifice is mentioned. But I picked out four places in the New Testament where the word and the thought is used. And I just want to run over it with you. I don't have time to elaborate on it. But first of all, there's what we call the believer's commitment. In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. You see, we are to give ourselves totally to God. Commit our lives to Him. And to make ourselves a living sacrifice for God. Somebody said, I'll die for Jesus. No, He wants you to live for Him. And He wants you to be that living sacrifice. And you've heard me say before that the problem with a living sacrifice is it's always wanting to crawl off of the altar. And we've got to be careful that we're totally committed in this thing. That will inspire us to sacrifice. I'll tell you something else. There's this matter of a manifested faith. And I want you to look in Philippians chapter 2, and I want to read that to you, if I could, please. Philippians 2, and verse number 17. Paul says, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Paul is saying, hey, my faith is manifested when I exercise it for God and for the sake of others. You see, it's easy, Brother Nathaniel, to serve God when everything is going well and in easy places where it's not difficult. But when you go into an area where the government enslaves people and the government says, You can't have open services. It makes it hard on those who are trying to serve God. And I know some of them that's had to leave China because of the oppression of the government. And they say, you can't do this. And when they have their services, they won't renew their visas. And one fellow was given just a few hours to get out of the country and his family out of the country, and told never to come back. And if I called his name, you'd probably know who I'm talking about. It's not easy to go into that. And now, there's some of these places that this coronavirus is spreading in leaps and bounds. One of our missionaries' family, Brandon and Devonna Neal, in Daegu, South Korea. That's the hub of the spread of this coronavirus. Outside of China, the majority of the cases in South Korea that's been diagnosed are right there in the city where Brandon and Devonna are serving. Now, that's not easy. The government has abandoned the privilege of congregate people congregate. No more than 20 people can congregate together in a place. It's against the law to have church now during this time of quarantine. Brandon's having church over the internet. I don't know how he's taking his offering, but I'm sure he'll find a way knowing him. But the thing of it is, you know, it's easy to serve God when things are going well. But I'll tell you, it takes faith when we're willing to sacrifice in order to do it. And then Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16, good works to others. That is a sacrifice. Now I want you to listen to what Paul said, or the writer of Hebrews said. I'm still not convinced that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, but many people are. Hebrews 13 and verse 15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And he says in verse 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. You see, God is pleased with that sacrifice of helping others. And we think sometimes that it's difficult, it's a drag on our time and our life to put time and effort into helping somebody else. But the Bible says that's one thing that pleases God. You see, this thing of serving God is a life of sacrifice. I'm not going to take the time to deal with this, just to mention it, because I'll deal with it in the morning. Philippians 4:18 tells us that our material giving is a sacrifice. And again, it says it pleases God when we give to the work of God. Sometimes we just don't have it to give, but we do it anyway. God says that's a sacrifice and God's pleased with it. But then there's the involvement in it. What can I give? Number one, you give self, as those Macedonians did. They first gave their own selves to God. Number two, they gave the service. Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 8. Involving our time, involving our talent, involving our testimonies, we can give it to God through our service to Him, and that's pleasing to God. Then again, I'll deal with it in the morning. We can give our substance to God because, again, that's well-pleasing to Him. I'll close with this question that the Lord Jesus asked His disciples in Luke chapter 8, verse 25. He said, "Where is your faith?" Where is your faith? Now that is a question that we need to think about tonight. Where is your faith? Where's your faith in? To missionaries, they've got to have faith to surrender to missions, to serve, and to sacrifice, to do the will of God. That takes faith. And they're willing to do that. That's why I love them. I love to be around them. I love to talk to them. I love to hear their testimonies. Because they're people of faith. But now listen to me. There's many believers that God wants to use in this work of missions to send those. And it takes faith in order to do it. And I hope that we're willing to take that step of faith. Where is your faith? And that's something that we can take home with us tonight. Where is your faith? You have faith to believe God? I sure hope so.
Amen.
And I hope that you'll take that step of faith. Some of you may be literally thinking about the fact that God might want you to be a missionary. Where's your faith? It takes faith. Some of you may be thinking about going to Bible college. It takes faith. Where's your faith? Somebody said, I don't have money to go. I had $26 when I registered at Tennessee Temple, and it cost me $22 to register. I had $6. I didn't have a job at that time. Got one. But God met the need. My wife had no money when she came. And they told her she was on the list of one. She was number 100 on the list for work scholarship to be able to work on campus. Had to work on campus. She didn't have a car to drive. But you know what? Some tried to get her to wait until the next semester and try to work and save the money. But you know what? She said, God wants me to go now. She went. And God always met her need.
Amen.
Amazing. She spent 27 years in New York. And I know she probably wouldn't want me to mention this publicly, but I am anyway. She lived by faith.
Amen.
You ought to hear some of the stories that she tells, how she lived by faith. Sometimes she had nothing but a can of soup to eat for lunch, another can of soup for supper. But you know what? She stayed with it.
Amen. Yes.
And God blessed her.
Yes. Amen.
You don't believe God blessed you? Just look what a husband that God gave her. And I was telling Amber and him tonight, she said, it was worth the wait. Amen. But just a life of faith. And I'm sure I'm stepping on her territory tomorrow because her lesson's on faith tomorrow to the ladies. But you ladies, make her tell you a story when she was a student at Tennessee Temple about going to Canada. You make her tell you that story sometime tomorrow. It'll bless you how that she just took a step of faith. It's amazing what the life of faith will do. And I challenge you to let God use you by faith. In this vision of missions. Let him do it. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Father, I've tried my best tonight just to honor the Lord. And Lord, I tried to hurry, but sometimes we just can't do it. And thou knowest. Help these precious people, Lord. I know they're tired. Several of them are hurting tonight. Their hearts are broken, but yet they're here serving the Lord. That's a sacrifice, Lord. I pray that you'll bless them for it. Lord, speak to our hearts. Lord, would you have somebody here at Linwood that would walk this aisle and get on their knees and say, Dear God, what will thou have me to do about missions? Would you call somebody to the mission field from this church, Lord? This church loves missions. This would thrill this church to call somebody from this membership to go to the mission field. Do you have somebody like that, Lord? I pray that you'll speak to their hearts. Help them to step forward and say, Here am I, Lord, send me. Do what you desire to do with me. And dear God, I pray you'd give us some prayer warriors. I pray you'd give us some givers, Lord, to give to missions and to do more than we have ever done by faith. And just take that step of faith to serve our Lord Jesus in this area of missions. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, the altar is open, Miss Mickey is playing.